Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday, the 1st of July. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I am Pete Donaldson.
July. How on earth have we got to July?
Whoa! Pinch punch first of the month, except we can't because we're in separate places.
Don't touch
and don't
me.
Touch me.
Yeah. Also,
if I had a penny for every time a woman had said that to me.
And a man. You could get one of those grab things where you squeeze the handle and it's got a fake hand on the end.
Right.
And you could grab someone like that. You wouldn't get much purchase
it's
on the pinch.
Not the same type of pinch.
But you could.
No. I'm obsessed with those grabbers. I want to get one of those grabbing machines, those sticks, and then grab another stick with that grabby stick and then link another grabby stick to that one until I've got infinite grabby sticks on and I'm like a kind of industrial Mr. Tickle.
Yeah.
See just how long you can make it.
I just want to see how far I can... Across a car park I'd be happy with, to be honest.
Yeah. How
most
you...
of Pete's leisure activity takes place in the car park.
I can imagine.
Virtual... What's it? Crazy Frisbee? Ultimate Frisbee. I hate Ultimate Frisbee so much.
That's played in the field though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What has been your key to survival, Pete Donaldson, in lockdown? Because it's been nearly 4 months.
It's weird. I am seen as being someone who enjoys the odd video game. I've barely played any, to be honest, Jules. So I have just been staring out the window. I live behind a churchyard, so I've been watching people.
Sinister, isn't it?
It is a little bit. Just watch.
I must. Did you go to the estate agent and go? I must have a house behind a churchyard.
Yeah, exactly.
It's where there gravestones.
There are three gravestones. Ooh. Yeah.
That's even weirder.
As many as three.
Loads.
It was bombed in the Blitz, so I think they just moved the church back a little bit and just made it a kind of like a public kind of graveyardy place. It's very
so you've
personal.
Been looking, gazing longingly
just
over a graveyard.
Gazing longingly, looking into the graveyard. I think I've been into it three times during the nice
Jules,
weather.
What's your secret to survival, Ben?
Food.
Eat as much
food,
as possible.
Just loads of food. Just like spending all my money just on food.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going out. I'm not spending my money on anything else. Mm. So I've just like, when I do the food shop at the moment, you know, like normally you do a food shop and you go, oh, I can't afford that or won't get that this week.
Mm.
at the moment, it's just the food, the food shop is
I've had so many conversations with myself about that. What I'll do is I'll go into a supermarket and I'll see stuff that I think I don't really need that.
Yeah.
But what my brain then starts doing, through no control of my own, will be like, think how much you've saved on travel.
Literally.
Yeah.
Spend it on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I will. And before you know it, you've got 3 birthday cakes and it's no one's birthday.
I've been shopping in the Japanese supermarket. I've discovered yuzu, which is a kind of like lemony kind of thing.
Yes.
And I've put it in everything.
It's really good.
It's delicious.
Jules, are you a bit of a foodie?
Yeah, I love my food and I love cooking as well. And actually, one of the nice things about having a bit more time at home is I've been able to spend more time cooking everything from scratch, which is really good. Like, you know, because when we're so busy, when there's so, I mean, there is so much football now, but when I'm normally working more than I am at the moment, I don't have time to do everything from scratch. So I quite often get a takeaway or whatnot, which is still, obviously still do that. But it's been nicer to spend a bit more time cooking recipes and cooking random things as well that I normally wouldn't. So
should we not talk about any football today?
Nothing, none.
Let's just talk about...
There wasn't a game last night.
We all know why you're stalling, Breach.
Was that the first Man United win at the Amex, though?
It was.
I was distracted because I found a bottle of discontinued hairspray in an old trunk. And the laptop was on the windowsill in front of the churchyard. And the commentator said that. And I was like, I can't deal with both bits of information.
Yeah.
I've not seen this bottle of fat hair for about 10 years.
I like the idea.
Was it all like gloopy at the spray bit?
I've not tried yet, but it was...
That happens.
I could wax... pun intended, lyrically, about the fat hair and the sad loss of that particular hairspray brand for years, Jules. It was amazing. It was like liquid glue.
Smells delicious, doesn't it?
Did you used to use it?
I know it.
Oh, it was lush. And eBay, you had to, for a very small bottle, £30.
Yeah.
And I indulged a couple of times.
Well, think of what you're saving on travel, though.
I know. You can't find them anymore.
I was going to say.
It was like finding...
All the best stuff gets discontinued.
Why do they do this,
Jules?
I just want glue in my hair.
Graveyards, trunks. Are you some kind of Victorian time traveller? Because you're famously really into steampunk. So
I'm famously not into steampunk. I find steampunk tedious, and the people who like steampunk have little twirly moustaches.
Who's the most steampunk footballer? Do you know what steampunk is?
No.
I'll tell you later.
It's cogs and shit.
Yeah.
It's futuristic cogs.
Right. Yeah.
It's like a Victorian's idea of the future.
Mm.
It's like a movement. And there's a lot of stuff about it going on in Camden. It's kind of a weird thing.
I see.
Who is the most steampunk footballer?
I think it might be Luis Enrique. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I'm just pulling that out of my cog pissed behind.
So anyway, Pete was watching the game while sorting through an abandoned Victorian trunk.
I mean, I wouldn't expect anything else from you, Pete.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
You're right.
But yeah, you're right. Man United haven't beaten Brighton at the Amex until last night.
Yeah.
We beat them 3-2 last season at home and it was an unbelievable game. Last night, not so much.
Not so much beaten.
But Man United are just on this unbelievable run. So actually going into the game, I wasn't confident at all. I did think we were going to lose this one. But I'm actually still pretty happy in terms of the 3 matches since the restart. Picking up 4 points against Arsenal, Leicester and Manchester United is very decent for Brighton. And there is a little bit of breathing space between us and the rest of the clubs that could face relegation this season. So I'm not too defeatist today. But let's talk about Manchester United because that run has extended now to 15 games in all competitions unbeaten. Is it too simplistic to say that Bruno Fernandes is the key to that? Because since he's signed for Manchester United and played, he hasn't lost a single game.
Well, he's coming from a club that consistently finished exactly third every season. And he's going, this is where I want to be, guys. I will get the ball back off the other team. I will score goals. I will provide assists. This is where we need to be. And he's saying, I'm a top professional. Let's get into my particular headspace. But yeah, I think he just wants to be third because that's where he lives.
Can I just say, in one season in the last 5, Sporting did actually finish second. So the joke's on you there.
Joke's on me there, yeah.
Yeah, that is outrageous.
Was he there? When did he join? 17?
I haven't checked.
Exactly.
But yeah, he's obviously a magnificent player. But the return of Pogba was obviously huge for them as well. Well, people have, I think, gotten so used to talking about the soap opera around Paul Pogba, they had forgotten the level of quality he can bring. I mean, to be perfectly frank, and maybe it sounds a little bit disrespectful to your beloved Brighton, Jules, but
don't disrespect me.
Okay, I won't say it. Pete, what were you going to say?
Go on.
Is that a player of his level, even though he's been out of the game for a decent amount of time, he's far better than what Brighton put up against him last night.
Oh, gotcha. They've got so much quality in their side.
Absolutely. And I think the thing that needs to be said is that I thought United, in a big way, took their foot off the gas last night.
They did, yeah.
15 minutes in, they score the third goal. They made five substitutions after that at 3-0 just to rotate and get people fresh and to keep people. Because they've obviously got another game at the weekend.
De Gea made a couple of very, very good saves.
But he did. But Brighton were able to get so far, but not really any further. And they'd end up shooting a bit from distance and all that kind of stuff. But I just thought United, they were brilliant. I mean, Fernandes could have had a hat-trick as well, I think. Yeah. I think he hit the post, did he?
He did. He hit the post before he scored his goal.
That's right. And they just took their foot off the gas and they were able to rotate some players. But it's when you do this kind of show every week, Pete and I obviously have done, and yourself, Jules, you do a show about football every single week and sometimes more than once a week. You've got to be careful not to be blown around like a windsock with different teams, because sometimes teams play well and sometimes they play bad and they get into form one way or another. United have been very, very good since January. So I wonder whether, even notwithstanding the big 3-month gap we've had in the middle, I mean, they've been good enough for long enough now for you to think, actually, look at the players they've got. They're now playing at a kind of level you'd expect from them. Mm. And they've also got something really to strive for, which is to try and get back into this top table of European football. So all the elements are there now, aren't they?
I think the key for Manchester United in last night's game was how they started the match. Mm. It was just, they went hell for leather right from kickoff, and obviously scoring an early goal like they did and then getting the second one so soon after, it meant that they had the upper hand right from the off. And I think that was because of the way Ole Gunnar Solskjaer picked the team, again, starting Pogba and Fernandes together for the second game in a row. And I think that just this United team came into the game knowing that this was an absolute must win, a game that they could win and should win. Mm. And because Wolves are breathing down their necks for that potential Champions League spot in fifth, because Wolves won their last match at the weekend against Aston Villa, Man United knew they had to win last night in order to kind of keep the pace with Wolves for one of those European spots. So I had a feeling that United were gonna blow Brighton away last night. And I think once they scored the second goal, they could take their foot off the gas a bit, Luke. And I think that even just looking at...
How does that make you feel?
Do you know what? I was actually annoyed from the start at...
Do you feel like pure shit?
Sheet. No, I don't feel like... I feel fine, thank you.
I felt sorry for Duffy, because he's obviously had a horrible year, and he comes back and he's... Can I not wait until the Norwich match?
I know,
we're playing
right?
Norwich next. Yeah. I don't want to play Man United.
But Potter's not really picked the Duffy combination, has he? He's gone for Webster, hasn't he, more often than not. But Webster didn't feature last night, is that right?
He was injured.
Yeah, okay.
So he's been carrying an injury. So he's coming back in. But yeah, I think the thing is that when I saw the team sheet before kickoff, I was already a little bit like, we're not going to get anything out of this one. Playing Aaron Connolly up top on his own, he's not got the experience yet. He's not got the ability or the quality of...
Only supported by the kid who was left famously home alone in the film Home Alone as well, Alexis McAllister.
Oh, yes, Alexis McAllister, exactly. Yeah. I think that it just didn't, to me, look like the right team to play against Manchester United. I have complete faith in Graham Potter, so I'm not criticising him. I just don't think that... When I looked at that team sheet, I didn't think we're going to get anything out of a game against United, and the game was completely different once Neil Morpay came on for the second half.
I enjoyed when Bissouma took one in the plums.
Yeah, it's always nice to see.
Took one in the plums, got up and did some amazing skill. He took on three or four
like
players.
Like he was trying to throw off a curse.
Honestly.
Of the pain.
I think, look, it's all very well laughing at Arsenal players when they don't make Champions League. You know, yeah. Didn't they do last season?
Yeah.
He took one of the plums and then he got up and he took the absolute mick out of three or four Manchester United players and then spread the ball out. That needs to be his training. Like every before every match. Takes one in the and then he's off. He was fantastic after that.
As a female, I obviously do not know how it feels. Yeah. However, there is still the same,
it's a great leveler.
Even from girls watching, we all know that must be
it's a great leveler. It's a great leveler because it's something that everyone experiences.
Yeah,
playing men's football as a kid.
Yeah, there's
and
no
so it's
other...
good that it's good that top pros, doesn't matter how much you're getting paid, you take one of the knackers, you're the same as the rest of us.
And also we end the match by drinking a load of milk, like Fernandez.
Yeah. Exactly. You thought he was on the milk, didn't you?
I thought he was on the milk, and it was the weirdest thing because he got substituted, Bruno Fernandez, and he was sat there and bless him, you could see he was absolutely freezing. I think everyone underestimated how cold it was.
Nobody wanted a water break, did they?
No,
give me my milk.
You're taking the piss. It's fucking minus 10 out here.
Yeah, the cooling break, they were like, can I have a cup of tea?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So Bruno Fernandes is sat there. I thought he was drinking milk. It turns out it was a protein shake. He was desperate for a jacket.
He's been on the Herbalife on lockdown. Yeah. He got sucked in.
But I would love him to be some kind of Premier League equivalent of Mr. T. But it's not milk. He ain't getting milk and getting the little cream bit off the top.
I've said he's been on InfoWars buying vitamins.
Yeah, he must have been.
He's got to get rid of them. He bought the deluxe package.
We all follow, obviously, my team are far worse than both of yours, but we all follow a similar profile of team. And the reason I say that is because invariably, when you come up against a Man United like Brighton did last night, you'll feel the same pizza Newcastle fan. And it was certainly the same when Portsmouth were in the Premier League. What you want is you want the game to go longer and longer at 0-0. Because that makes it harder for the other team. And unfortunately, Mason Greenwood, who's just got the best feet, he's got such great feet for a young kid. He's so exciting. When he refines his game and improves, he's going to be some player he is. But they score after 15 minutes with a brilliant goal. And after that, you kind of think, well, as you've alluded to, Jules, Brighton aren't really set up to do anything here now. So are they using this as a bit of a dead rubber ahead of a big game at the weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the big one for us. Norwich away at Carrow Road. It's an absolute must win for Brighton because the fixtures after that are still pretty tricky for us until we get to the last three.
Like Manchester City, Liverpool in there as well.
Exactly.
It's not ideal, is it?
It's not good. So I think, you know, as I said already, taking 4 points from the first three games since the restart is actually very decent for us. And I didn't expect to win last night. I think that might have been the thinking potentially behind Graham Potter's starting lineup. He substituted Lewis Dunk, which never really happens for Lewis Dunk in a Brighton shirt. It's extremely rare. I can't think of another time Lewis Dunk was substituted, certainly in a Premier League game. And the reason for that is because he was on 9 yellow cards and last night was the cutoff for getting your 10th yellow and then missing out on a few games. So he substituted Lewis Dunk, meaning Dunkey can now play at the weekend and he is essential to our defence, of course.
Yeah.
So the Norwich game is massive for us and I'm going to be there. So I'm really excited. I get the opportunity to be at a game behind closed doors and experience how weird it's going to be.
With the suspension thing, I would really like it if for some weird quirk of the contractual obligations that Premier League have, they have to stop all yellow cards and red cards at some point in like June. So now we're in July. It's like the Hunger Games. Everyone can do what they want.
Imagine that.
Paul Pogba first game back. Snap.
Fernandez is puking out white milk like that bit in Alien with... what's the robot in Alien?
Bishop. Yeah. Do you remember? Yeah. It's Aliens, actually.
It's Aliens. Yeah. Right. Sorry, spoilers, everyone.
You'll get to know this with me, boys. I'm really rubbish when it comes to film.
I'm terrible,
I'm
too.
I'm like the Michael Owen of Football Ramble.
I just know things from GIFs.
It'll work really well because I'm also famously a horrendous pedant. So
what's a pedant?
A pedant is someone who...
This is adorable.
Yeah.
Because Luke has to be a pedant about being a pedant.
Bear me a minute, please.
Right.
But a pedant is someone who nitpicks about every little mistake all the time.
That's called Luke. That's definitely you. I feel so seen.
Yeah. Is that a joke? Where can we explain
that? No, I didn't know. I genuinely didn't know.
We don't call it mansplaining anymore on the footer, but we call it Luke splaining.
Yeah. Anyway.
I
think that's enough on Brighton against Manchester United. We don't need to talk about
that. You got out of there pretty lightly,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think it's been fine. Yeah. Let's move on to talk about a player who is out of contract. Now, this is actually going to happen quite a lot. I was covering the League 2 playoff final on Monday night, and congratulations to Northampton, who are going to be playing League 1 football next season. They absolutely battered Exeter 4-0 in the League 2 playoff final. But, believe it or not, the day after the game, so on Tuesday, Keith Curl, the manager, and I think around 11 of his players were all out of contract the day after they've been promoted to League One. And this is because obviously contracts were all written until June the 30th, which was yesterday. So this is a situation that Joe Hart now finds himself in. He was under contract at Burnley. His contract has now expired. He's been at the club for a couple of years. So now he is a free agent. Can you see him signing for anyone else in the Premier League?
Well, I imagine he's got a little bit more financially in the tank than Keith Curl and the players down that end of the league, obviously. But I mean, fascinating, really. Like, you know, only 5 years ago, you've got Messi saying he's a wall. He saved a penalty from Messi. You know, two Premier League titles.
Made his final international cap less than 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah, against Brazil, was it?
I think it might have been Brazil. Yeah. November 2017, I think. It's an interesting situation because he's caught between two stools for a couple of reasons. The main one is that he's the source of all his problems start when Pep Guardiola goes to Man City and says, "You're not a goalkeeper for me.
You're not good enough for the effect."
Yeah, essentially. Mm. And there were questions asked about his character as well and the type of personality he was, but I don't know him, so I'm not going to go into that. But ultimately, Pete, yeah, you're right. But he said in an interview on the BBC this week that, you know, everyone knows the type of keeper I am, and what he's alluding to there is managers, coaches, scouts are all going to know Joe Hart, for God's sake. He's got 75 England caps. He said, "I'm not going to try and become a different type of goalkeeper at 33, because if I do that, it's going to come unstuck.
Yeah.
But if I'm out of fashion and I'm the type of goalkeeper I am that top clubs don't want me anymore, because one of the defining, to a couple of the defining images of top level football now is centre-back splitting and dropping deep to pick up the ball easy and goalkeepers being sweepers and having to pick passes with their feet. I mean, some of the passes that Edison and Alisson and some of these other keepers are able to pick out, it's just unthinkable like 5-10 years ago. So he can't change his game because it's too late in his career. But if he doesn't, but if no top club wants him because of the style of keeper he is, he's stuck. And then the other reason he's stuck is because he's probably not going to go and want to play at a team in the Championship, or it's a big gamble for him. I imagine he's got a family going to play overseas. I know he's done that before with mixed success. He might not want to do that again. I've interviewed players who've retired and said, "I thought what I would do is I'd go down the leagues and play for as long as I could." But a lot of them don't like the lack of intensity at League One level in comparison to the Premier League. I don't like players not being as good. And you know, it's not for me to be disrespectful because they're all better than me at football. But you know what I mean? So he might not want to do that. So it's very difficult to see where he goes. Mm. You might find a promoted Premier League team take a gamble on him and maybe have him as their second choice or whatever. But that seems like a really disrespectful thing to say about someone who's played at the top level for such a long time. So, look, I feel sorry for him, but he's had a great career.
And it's over.
But 33 is not that old for people.
Well, look, it's not.
David James, oldest player at the 2010 World Cup, wasn't he? Like 39, something like that. And he played because our first keeper made a couple of howlers.
And in a recent interview, Fabio Capello was referring to him repeatedly as Calamity James. To the point where I think Fabio Capello's got confused there and thinks that's his actual name.
But I think
disrespectful to a pro.
But I think Joe Hart kind of he made a statement going to Torino and
that
was
statement will not be forgotten because those people remember what he did there.
Yeah, but the Torino fans really liked him because he was this kind of like rock star, kind of like big money sort of loan deal signing, and although they couldn't financially keep him, the fans really, really warmed to him. He had a crack at reading out some Italian. He got done by that puddle. He made some absolute howlers. But I think fundamentally for him,
fans do like players that aren't always that good, right?
In a cult kind of way. Oh yeah, sure, Rami Obi. Yeah. But I think the problem for him is that, like, data came in a really, really big way at a really, really crucial part of his career. The quantification of goalkeeping distribution changed because you could get easy data, you could get easy kind of wins by just, you know, just passing to a fullback, but passing to a fullback when you're not under any kind of pressure is really, really easy. So you're just getting pass. Hitting if you're playing for a team like West Ham or something, you're trying to hit like a tall forward, just lashing it forward. Big Andy Carroll. You're going to be in trouble. So nowadays, they're kind of rated on how much pressure they're actually under when they make those passes. So he looked like quite an unattractive proposition to a lot of big football teams who were more data driven. So that he was forced into playing for teams like Burnley and West Ham. So he'll probably find a club, but like you said, where that'll be, we just don't know.
Exactly, and that's a really good point. And just in addition to that, very quickly, like, if he wants to stay in the Premier League, well, he's not a better keeper than the goalkeeper of all the top 10 clubs with the potential. I mean, at the moment, Bern Leno's injured at Arsenal. He's probably, you know, he might be better than their sub keeper, but he's not going to start for Arsenal. So the top 10 clubs in the Premier League, he's not good enough for. Mm. So that he has to just accept that. And then I guess it depends where he goes from there. What do you think of it?
Well, I think at his age, I think it's an awkward kind of time for him. It's kind of unfortunate timing the way his career has sort of panned out over the last couple of years. Because obviously when he signed for Burnley, it was because Tom Heaton was injured. And then you have Nick Pope, who's been absolutely fantastic for Burnley in that time as well. That's awkward for him because he went into that side thinking, okay, well, I'm going to replace Tom Heaton. But then Nick Pope has been so good that he obviously can't get into the team.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think that at his age that he is, and because of the way goalkeeping is changing, he's almost too old to sign for a club and be their number one because they wouldn't want a keeper of his age being their number one, I don't think. But he's also... I don't know. It's kind of like an awkward time for him because as Luke's already mentioned, 33 is still young for a goalkeeper. So he still has years in his career and there's no doubt that there's definitely talent there and he has experience. That's something he could bring to a squad. So I think there is definitely a place for Joe Hart. I'm just not sure exactly where he fits in the Premier League. Yeah.
His wife is called Kimberly Crew, which does sound like an MLS franchise. So maybe he could sign for her.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I imagine he does play for her a lot.
I guess so. Yeah, well, yeah. You know.
But the weird situation is that on certain attributes, having said what I've just said about the top 10 Premier League teams, he is better than some of those keepers at certain things. I think, based on what I've seen, I think he's a better shot stopper than Kepa at Chelsea, but he can't set up attacks or use the ball at his feet the way that a lot of the modern goalkeepers can, and that's really important to them.
His distribution was the bottom two or three for West Ham.
Where you go?
He's just not a good deliverer. I completely forgot
he was at West Ham. Yeah. There we go.
It's very interesting, isn't it? Well, best of luck to Joe Hart, and we do hope to see him playing football again and possibly in the Premier League. We'll have to see how that one pans out. Before we go to the break, Pete.
Yes.
Over to you. I'm scared.
He's excited. Pete's doing the things with his hands. He's really excited. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I've got a mystery noise. I've not got a jingle. Mystery noise, girls and boys, it's mystery noise. It's time for a mystery noise.
We'll get that worked up.
We'll find some audio for that. I've found a sound. You're going to hear this sound and you've got to figure out what the fuck it is. Is that fair enough? Is that a game we can all get our heads around?
Yeah.
All right. You'll get the answer at the end of the show so we can all play along.
Okay.
Give yourself a bit of time.
Okay, we should give listeners our 100% cast iron guarantee that neither Jules or I have heard this noise at all.
Exactly.
I didn't even know what we were doing. I was just told, throw to Pete.
Throw to Pete.
Okay.
All right, here's today's mystery noise.
Sounds like me on a night out.
And that is the correct answer. I think I know what that is.
Do you?
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well, we'll find out.
Are we giving our guesses now or later?
We'll do our guesses at the end of the show.
Yeah, end of the show.
Right. Well, that's Pete's noise. Have a little.
Sorry, unless I've missed something, there's not Pete doing the noise, is it?
Have a little think, guys.
It's like when Pete pulled that red hot pot noodle on his foot. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, horrible.
We'll have the answer to that at the end of today's ramble. We're still going to be previewing a couple of tonight's games, and after this, we are chatting Messi.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and Japan-based YouTuber Chris Broad every Wednesday as we offer the lowdown on what's happening in one of the most unique and exciting countries in the world. The Abroad in Japan podcast is home to all things Japan, from things to do...
So today we've come to you guys with 12 places in Japan that nobody knows about.
...to the bizarre...
When I moved into my new apartment last year, the police guy came to my door, knocked on my door, I opened it, it was a policeman, and he said to me, in English, I am Japanese policeman. That's the best introduction you could possibly do as a Japanese policeman.
To the downright filthy.
And for those of you that don't know what a tenga is, Pete and I did discuss how to describe it best before doing the podcast, and I'll let Pete describe what a tenga is. What is it, Pete?
It's a solo male silicon-based onanist's aid, so to speak.
Brilliant.
New episodes every single Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Abroad in Japan is a Stakhanov production.
You're listening to the Football Ramble. Luke and Pete are here with me, and we are going to be previewing tonight's Premier League games very shortly. But before that, last night, it was all about Messi again. What a player. The best in the world, in my opinion. The best ever. 700 career goals. He reached that landmark last night with the most ridiculous goal as well. It was a Panenka penalty against Atletico Madrid. And I mean, just what a player he is. We just basically... want any excuse to be able to talk about Messi for a few minutes.
Yeah, why not?
Him scoring a Panenka penalty for his 700th was as inevitable as that three-match ban for Alexander Mitrovic that came in yesterday. Yeah. It was like, we knew it was going to happen. If he got a chance, he was going to put it away and he was going to get his 700th. I mean, 862 games and 700 goals at the top table of European football.
Yeah, it's not even like he started out, you know, started out in the fourth division. You know, it's all but at the very top.
Kevin Phillips
against what a lot of people would say is the best goalkeeper in the world as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
That takes a pair of brass cojones, I believe they say in Spain. But do you reckon as he wheeled away from his celebration, he just went to Jan Oblak, don't worry about it, I've done 700 of these. I do it all the time. Don't take it personal.
Yeah. He's just unbelievable, isn't he? I mean, we all knew he was going to get to that mark. And he, as you say, Pete, he's done it in 112 games less than Ronaldo.
That's the real quiz. Ronaldo's fuming about that.
Do we dare debate? Is there a debate?
I don't think we have to have the debate. I don't think it matters. But I do think it's funny that he's done it quicker than Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Because I think... And the only reason I think it's funny is because I am utterly convinced that Ronaldo actually cares about that kind of stuff.
He definitely
cares.
Think?
Yeah, and he will watch several YouTube debating videos like of young kids yeah. arguing over, you know,
a few outlogins.
FIFA. Yeah.
Well, I think Cristiano's better.
There was Bleacher Report took 700 black footballs and went to a football pitch and did what can only be described as one of those Neil Buchanan
art attack.
Do you remember Art Attack?
Yeah.
Neil Buchanan kind of bird's eye view picture of Leo Messi's face, because they knew this was in the offing. They knew he was going to reach 700, and God, it was shit. God, it didn't even look much like Leo Messi. They'd managed to make 700 footballs look like 70 footballs.
Explain again what they did.
They took 700 footballs.
You're right.
I think it must
painted
have been
black football.
Painted black footballs, yeah. And made the face of Messi on the centre circle on a pitch.
That's right.
And they took a drone up, shot.
Why did they think that?
Because of art. Art a reason,
Jules.
I mean,
be such a pedant.
Better things they could have done. I know what that means. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that they would have, because what would have been in the age of obviously modern internet, the bar's higher than that. That's not enough.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
not enough.
That's
if Buchanan's doing that in the early 90s,
yeah.
we need to have moved on. What they should have done is done like some kind of time lapse where they made the. Redid his goals from every angle where he scored them all from.
Yeah, and the F2 freestylers just rolling around on the balls. Going, yeah.
And at the end, someone goes, "Dude, perfect." but there was an amazing piece of skill that Messi did that it made. I mean, because you know, football essentially exists now for people to share clippable little videos or gifts.
There's
amazing
content.
Exactly, glanceable fun. Mm. That's what media agencies say about it, Jules.
Right.
There's an amazing bit of skill where he's got the ball down near the touchline. And Lodi, the left back for Atletico, comes flying in from miles away. And Messi just flicks it over the top of him. And it just makes you think.
He does catch his knee on him, though. So he could have hurt himself there.
So it's not dude perfect.
It's not dude perfect.
No. But it does make you think how good. Because to get to the position that Lodi's in, where he's playing fullback for a top quality European team, right? He's going to unquestionably be the best player that anyone here can imagine in terms of real life. If he went and played for your local team or he joined in your Saturday team, he would be ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Messi's taking the piss out of him. So how good is Messi? That's what and the game is played so fast. We went to a Madrid derby a couple of seasons ago. Pete and I sat together, very hungover.
Obviously.
So we're obviously more emotional than we would have been normally. Yep. But it was the standard is ridiculous. It's like it's like scripted theatre.
Yeah.
They move in sync. Mm. They do. And to stand out and be that good at that level over and over again, it's incredible. It's mind-blowing.
And when you've got that, when you are, you know, when the footballers have almost grown up watching the greatest footballer in the world ply his trade, and then they're facing off against him, you're going to make mistakes. Just his very reputation, you're going to do things that you wouldn't normally do because you're panicking and you're thinking, right, well, he's probably going to do something mad. And that kind of helps, doesn't it? I mean, the mythos of the man, it helps you, it helps the defenders just make mistakes, in my humble opinion. Well,
I think he's so good. I'm not saying he would want to do this, but he's so good, I reckon he could play at some kind of good professional level until he's 45.
Yeah.
45?
Yeah.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. I'm not saying he'd be captain of Barcelona at 45.
He'd be re-upping his growth hormones, wouldn't he? when he's 16.
I think he'd be.
Do you think fitness-wise, though?
Yeah, but I think you'd play him in a different position or whatever.
Centre back.
Maybe
at 45, would you say that Ronaldo playing as a fox in the box rather than Leo Messi doing what he does?
I think
Ronaldo would be more useful.
He'd give you something, Ronaldo. I think if you played Ronaldo at 50, he'd give you something.
Yeah.
Right, but Messi wouldn't.
He'd have to adjust his
I think Ronaldo would last longer in terms of fitness and being at the top level. I think he will play more games and play until he's older than what Messi will retire at, personally.
I don't think Ronaldo...
His fitness is just unbelievable,
He's not. Ronaldo's not going to ever give up, I think.
Ever.
He's going to be a
no.
bit... Buffon's had another year added on his contract, hasn't he?
Ridiculous.
Yeah. And one thing worth saying about Messi, the boys touched on it yesterday ahead of this game, which was a great game, by the way. I mean, there's a lot of drama in it. Is that Messi really, over the last few years at Barcelona, Barcelona have been a bit of a shit show, really.
Yeah.
I mean, if Barcelona have been at the top of their tree for all this time, I know that's very difficult to do for such an elongated period, but if they've been at the top of their tree and he hadn't had so much pressure on him and they hadn't kind of not really known what they're doing, it's mad to say, but he could have been even better. Which is just crazy.
If he didn't have to deal with the politics and he's almost managing the team at times, bombed players.
I think he's decided himself to do that. Yeah.
Well, you can do. You can do.
Anyway, what an amazing talent. It's just great
to watch,
isn't it?
Just amazing.
And he's done so much for the sport, you know. It's easy to forget and get cynical as you get older, but when kids start watching football, they ain't, regardless of whether we like it or not, they're not watching football really for big headers and great clearances, and they're watching for players like Messi. The most exciting thing in football, goals aside obviously, is a player taking on a player and beating him. It makes you so happy to watch it, especially when you're a kid. And he's done so much for the sport, and it's great to see.
Just an absolute joy to watch. So congratulations to him. 700 career goals. Just let that sink in.
Could he get a thousand? He's 33.
300
more. Oh, lovely.
So he's taken him 700, so he needs to go... It's possible.
Is Joe Hart playing in La Liga?
Make it happen, Joe. Make it happen.
So disrespectful.
Let's move on to tonight's games in the Premier League. A quick little preview of them. Tonight, Leicester are away at Everton. But before we actually get on to Leicester and their performances since the restart, the plans are still going ahead for their match at the weekend where they host Crystal Palace at the King Power, despite the fact that Leicester is a city... are in lockdown. What are your thoughts on that, Pete? Do you think that they should?
I think they should go with any government advice or certainly scientific advice. But I'm just worried about Barry Lineker's the late Barry Lineker's fruit stall.
Right. Go on.
What's going to happen now? I mean, they shut down. The family aren't going to be selling the fruit, are they?
If it's the late Barry, sorry, I'm just having some water.
Thanks.
If it's the late Barry Lineker, then who's running it anyway?
Well, I presume somebody who's giving
someone
the company
trained
to.
Up.
Yeah.
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 So they can't,
I just wanted people to remember that Gary Lineker's dad was called Barry Lineker.
Yeah, all right? Fair enough.
That was mainly why I was
I think you've made that quite clear.
But yeah.
What's the question?
Why have you not been paying attention?
I'm thinking of Gary Lineker having a dad called Barry Lineker and them having a fruit stall, all right? We've done good chat there on the Lineker family. Yeah. We haven't even mentioned Wayne.
Well, we look at the UK and obviously we've been in lockdown for a very long time. I don't know, and I think people from Leicester, I lived there for 4 years, they are not exactly sure what parts of Leicester, are we talking Audley? Are we talking Fleckney? Are we talking Bartle on the Beans? That's quite close to Leicester.
You know Leicester.
I do know my Leicester. The people don't know where they're allowed to go, what they're allowed to do because of the rather patchy government advice. What I would say is they should play the Skepta, the start of that Skepta song, Shut Down. Shut Down. Wherever you're not allowed to be, they should play that on loudspeakers. That's where you're not allowed to be. You've got to get in your house.
A while, wouldn't it?
It would be a bit annoying after a while. That's Leicester though, isn't it?
You have to do it at socially acceptable hours. Wouldn't you?
I think the Premier League have obviously made a decision on this and said that the game can go ahead because of the...
They're in a bubble.
Yeah, and the levels of testing.
I don't see how it affects the players. Yeah,
exactly. The levels of testing that the players get and everyone that kind of goes into the grounds, and it's very limited. So
Leicester would like an excuse of anything because they've been pretty terrible since the restart.
Well, yeah, it's been strange, hasn't it? Because, of course, they kind of went on a bit of a poor run around about, if I remember this rightly, I think it may have been around kind of December, January time. Jamie Vardy kind of missed a few games and hadn't been scoring. But then they kind of picked things up again before lockdown. And now all of a sudden it just kind of feels like, I don't know what's happened to them during
the Champions League
lockdown.
They had a 14-point cushion.
Yeah.
And it's now like three, I think.
I wouldn't say this when I'm doing the show with Marcus because he'd get upset and then say he isn't upset. I think Leicester... That amazing run they had from the middle of October up to Christmas. If you look at them from the start of the season through to Christmas, they had quite favourable fixtures. I think things kind of went their way. If you look at the games
Why would Marcus be upset about that?
Because he loves Leicester.
Loves Brendy.
Yeah,
He is, yeah, but right. he loves Leicester. And at one point he got caught out saying that they're on the verge of the second title and we took the mickey out of him. That says more about us than it does him. But look, they if you look at the games they had in the first half of the season, Maynard away, they lose that. Liverpool away, they lose that. You know, the games against Leicester, against Wolves, they didn't get a win against Wolves, didn't get a win against Chelsea. They beat the teams you expect them to beat. If you look at the profile teams they played and factor in that Arsenal had an absolute shit show of a season, that run they went on, as I said, from the middle of October, Burnley at home, Southampton away, Crystal Palace, Arsenal at home, Brighton, Everton, Watford, Villa, Norwich, and Everton again in the League Cup. And I think they had a League Cup game against a lower league team as well. Fine, you should be winning those games. Mm. What I feel like's happened is there's a couple of things. One is there's been a bit of a righting. They've started to play tougher games and they've been caught out. And also, what they were good at under Rodgers when they were good was they were really good at getting in teams' faces.
Yeah, the intensity.
And they don't have that now.
The intensity they showed against Chelsea was a lot better. And you know, obviously, yeah, they played a lot better against them. But yeah, they just didn't look up for it. The first two matches after the restart, they just looked tired.
I think teams have worked them out a little bit and they're not moving the ball that quickly. And Vardy can get isolated and they rely on Tielemans and Maddison to break teams down with a clever pass. Madison's stats for getting for creating chances are amazing. But right, he's not doing that. I guess they can become a bit reliant on them. So, you know,
is there an argument to say that if they don't get Champions League football, players like Maddison, Chilwell, they're going to be off because people want careers and they don't have to do it at Leicester?
I don't think they will stick around. I don't think they're better at the moment than Wolves, Man United or Chelsea. So that kind of tells its own story. They've only got a 1-point cushion from Chelsea now and only a 3-point cushion from those other two teams. The only problem with talking about players moving on, Pete, these days, is that no one really knows what's happening. Mm. Like, we talked about this with the Peterborough striker, Ivan Toney. You and I were talking about it, Pete, and we said that, you know, the owner of Peterborough said, because Peterborough have now missed out on promotion, well, they're going to lose their best player.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, okay, well, where's he going to go then? Because no Football League team's buying him. Mm. And if he's not good enough for a Premier League team, he's not going anywhere. Mm. So we don't know what's happening with things. So maybe that'll work to their favour as well. I just think that the intensity, the match sharpness they need to play how they want to play under Rodgers isn't there at the moment.
Yeah.
And they're facing an Ancelotti side tonight who have been...
Be a good game.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game. And Dominic Calvert-Lewin, despite not scoring against Norwich in the last match, had the most shots in the whole of the last game week. He should have scored if it wasn't for Tim Krul, who just seems to save everything. Yeah. But what do you think about tonight? Do you think that Everton will beat Leicester? Because that would be a great result for Everton.
I think they might.
Yeah, it's hard to see who's going to turn up, Leicester-wise. If they keep it there the same intensity that they did with Chelsea, I think they will win. But if they don't, Everton have got 3 points there, right?
I think Everton will win. There you go. How about that?
There we go. Let's look at a couple of the other games because it's all getting very, very tense at the bottom of the table. Bournemouth are at home to Newcastle tonight, mm-hmm. Pete. Yeah. West Ham have a London derby against Chelsea. Now, for both of these teams, they're struggling. They can't seem to get anything out of their matches at the moment. They've both lost their last three matches, Bournemouth and West Ham. And looking at Bournemouth against Newcastle tonight, you would say that when you look at their next six fixtures coming up after that, this is their most winnable tie. Sorry, Pete, but it is at Bournemouth's fixtures. And if they don't get something out of this, does that mean that they are out of this? Where does it leave them?
I think people were talking about last week on Football Ramble about how Bournemouth have had their time. So we're not. It's not quite as a romantic story anymore.
Is that how it works?
You get a couple of seasons.
Time's up.
Yeah. It's like bands. We say you either get 10 years or 3 albums. That's it, and then you've got to go. You just got to stop because you're embarrassing yourselves.
Yeah.
But the
how does that work with 13 years of the Football Ramble, by the way?
Yeah, exactly. You got to get out of there.
Is that why I'm here?
Yeah.
Please,
right,
make
we need someone who knows what they're doing.
But yeah, no, I think this is Bournemouth's most winnable game. So their next four games look pretty rough. So they need it tonight.
I feel sorry, Jules, I was just going to say.
Like an excess.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a blast from the past.
I know, right?
Yeah. Eddie Howe very much attractive enough to be the Michael Hutchins of Bournemouth.
He's the Michael Hutchins of football, yeah.
Although we obviously hope it doesn't have such a tragic end. But the situation with Bournemouth is they don't get anything from losing positions. If you look at the stats, they're 15 defeats from going behind in 17 games. That's not good. Mm. That's not good at all. And secondly, they, from what I've seen of them, and maybe I don't watch them as much as some people would, they're effectively a counter-attacking team, right? So they find it very hard to break teams down. And I think that good teams find it quite easy to defend against them because they don't play with any tempo. Mm. So if you don't attack Bournemouth over and over again and leave gaps at the back, they can't really do anything. And I also feel that Ryan Fraser's been a bit of an issue with them. There's lots of rumours, lots of talk about how difficult that situation's been. he's now decided he's not going to stay, which I think is horrendous form. There's absolutely no reason for him not to stay.
And that's difficult the in the dressing the room as yeah. well, isn't yeah. it? Especially at this key time in the season where they need to be winning games. I just wanted to clarify, by the way, that the fixtures that they have coming up, because we talked about them but not actually said who they are. After Newcastle tonight, they're away at Manchester United, at home to Tottenham and Leicester, away at Manchester City, yeah. and they have a home tie against Southampton, and they finished the season away at Everton.
Like most of those, apart from one, they've got something to play for and pretty big financial
yep.
rewards for getting that place as well.
Exactly.
They're going to get put to the sword in those games.
Really tough. They really need to get something. West Ham against Chelsea tonight. This should be a good game. It's the later kickoff as well, 8:15. West Ham need to get something out of this game as well, but I don't know if I can see it.
They shouldn't be as bad as they are, West Ham. They shouldn't be as bad as they are.
I thought having a bit of a break and having Moyes, obviously he came out PR-wise very well with the break, doing a bit of social community work. I thought they were going to come back and be a completely different unit because they'd spent a bit more time with the new manager. He only came in December, obviously, but it didn't seem to be the case at all. Frank Lampard's talking about, obviously, Mason Mount's good friends with Rice.
Declan yeah. Rice, yeah. He's been linked to Chelsea, hasn't he?
Well, he told Mason Mount to concentrate on beating Rice, and I was thinking he's making mochi. Yeah. He's making mochi, people, and that's what West Ham could look like at the end of this match. Well, pounded Rice.
The problem for West Ham is they just can't score goals.
No.
They really can't. I mean, the three games since they've come back, they haven't scored in any of those matches, and I really thought that Jarrod Bowen would be a huge influence on them when he signed in January. And although I think he's looked good in the games, it's just almost not been enough, and they're missing Sebastian Haller. I just think that when you look at the teams down in the bottom six, I'm including Brighton in that, scoring goals, this is the time to do it. And if they haven't scored in their last three, it's hard to see where those goals are coming from.
And behind closed doors as well. West Ham fans haven't always gotten on with their first 11. So to do it behind closed doors, you would think would have a positive effect because they're not going to put with the boo-boos.
I think in time, Jarrod Bowen will be an excellent football player at the top level. Yeah. I think he's brilliant. And if West Ham stay in the Premier League this season, which I think they will actually, by the skin of their teeth, I think he'll go on from strength to strength. Difficult to play against, difficult to defend against. He drifts inside a lot. And he's got a lot of pace and he's got a decent amount of quality as well. It would have been an interesting matchup earlier in the season, chiefly because he's an exciting young wide player.
The pressure's off a bit more.
But they also, Chelsea had problems picking a regular left back, didn't they? Lampard's rotated around a few players, but he looks like he's settled on Alonso for now. So, look, it'll be an interesting game. I'll definitely watch it. I mean, and that's all you can say. What a ringing endorsement. I'll watch it.
I will watch this one. Yeah. Will you watch Arsenal Norwich? That's the other game.
To be honest, I find it hard
the
to...
no.
Yeah.
No, for me, though, I think this is a bit of a picker because Norwich could do something and that would be funny.
Listen, if I hit... Let me categorise it. The answer's no, but if I hear on the news wires that Norwich have got a goal ahead, I'm flicking straight over.
Well, that's tonight's four matches in the Premier League. And of course, we will be discussing them fully on tomorrow's Ramble as well. But Pete, it's over to you. Let's have the sound reveal.
Here's the noise.
Quite sinister, really.
It's like chimpy.
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
Chimpy. Have a guess what
do you think it is, Jules?
It sounds like a horse on a roller coaster.
which roller coaster?
But I don't think that's possible.
The Nemesis.
The Pepsi Max. The most 90s of all the roller coasters.
Would it go on sideways or would it take up two rows, do you reckon?
The horse.
How
are you getting the bar over it?
It sits in like that.
How are you getting the bar? Are you getting the bar under?
Well, like but those things, the shy horses already have those installed, don't they? So you can just bolt them in, couldn't you?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
over the head.
Yeah.
The things that those gurners have when they gurn through.
The gurn holes. gurn holes.
I don't think a regulation adult horse could fit on a roller coaster.
No, me either.
Right, okay.
So it's probably not that.
Okay.
What do you think it is, Luke?
I think I know what it is.
What do you reckon it is?
Is it foxes laughing?
Foxes laughing? What? That has nothing to do with football. I'd at least make it football related.
A horse on a roller coaster. What's that got to do with football? You didn't put her up for that.
It is.
Shane Duffy is like a horse. He's a huge defender, like a stallion.
All right. Shane Duffy on a horse on a roller coaster.
It's not that. It is. It is Premier League footballers, excellent footballers at that. Jamie Carragher. And Gary Neville having a race.
Who's the fastest out of the two here?
It would have been me, I think.
Do you want a race?
Yeah.
Yeah, go across that pitch now. Go on.
It's running across the pitch now.
You being serious?
That's the wow.
That is bizarre.
Amazing
Can
noises.
Can I just say, the thing that annoys me about that is I've seen that clip.
Yeah.
So,
oh, really?
I should have known. And
can I just
Murray
clarify,
James sent it over.
The reason I said Foxy's laugh is because there was a post that went viral this week of Foxy's laugh, and it sounded really weird, and everyone was losing their mind, so I've never heard Foxy's laughing before. But I think what's happened there is they've put that audio over some foxes and I've bought it.
Okay, so maybe it's more popular than I thought it was. Yeah. Sorry. So,
and I'm more out of touch than I thought I was.
Well,
but I thought I was quite out of touch anyway. Yeah.
Have you seen the goats singing over Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, the absolute best.
You're asking Pete Donaldson that?
I know. Obviously you've seen that.
I get very annoyed about Luke being a bit of a basic bitch when it comes to memes.
Yeah.
He sends me the oldest gifts.
We all share a big WhatsApp group now, don't we?
Yeah. Mm.
And you are gonna see the wrath that is incurred on behalf of Pete Donaldson. If you share a meme that is merely a day old, you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
I'm Web 2.0, guys.
Yeah. Although I shared one yesterday that you hadn't seen before.
Yeah, you did.
It's a big scratch. Big scratch in the wind
column. Big scratch in your book. Nice. Yeah, very exactly. Nice. All right, that's it from us today. I'm going to be back tomorrow with Vish and Jim. So I look forward to that. And
there'll probably be a lot of mystery noises on that show, won't there?
Yeah.
Intentionally or not.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for listening, guys. We'll see you tomorrow on the Football Ramble.
Bye-bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.